Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Fill her up!
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
We need to roll back the state. We spy on all of our own citizens.
Our prisons are flooded with nonviolent drug offenders.
If you want to know who America's next enemy is, look at who we're funding right now. Every single one of these problems are a result of government being way too big.
You're listening to Part of the Problem on the Gas Digital Network. Here's your host, Dave Smith.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of Part of the Problem. I'm Dave Smith. He is the fire, the king of the caulks, Robbie Bernstein. What's up, my brother? How you feeling?
Extra glowy, dude. I was in a synagogue today, and I absorbed all that radiant God light, and now I'm just sharing it with the fans.
Oh, well, you were being a good Jew, celebrating Rosh Hashanah.
I'm all repented and good to go.
That's it. Well, Rosh Hashanah is the repenting one? I thought Yom Kippur was the repenting.
Yeah, they all got a little repentance in there. You always got to say sorry.
Yeah, it's a lot of saying sorry.
You say sorry, you ask for some stuff, you never really get what you asked for. It's a little like a Santa Claus if you're a poor kid.
But a real Jewy Santa Claus.
Yeah.
That's what we got. All right, well, very good. That's nice. Spend some time with family. Do you feel closer to your community and all?
No. I, if anything, was like, how did I ever do this? Thank God I've limited my exposure. I seem to have a little bit less patience for it, but God bless everyone who... has religion, keeps it, and, you know, nothing but positive thoughts to all of you.
I've had for a while a similar feeling toward religion as I do toward school, in that I think there's like these, it's almost like in the same way, like one of the really poisonous things about school is that they conflate education and school. And almost like people will say, I'm educated, meaning I'm schooled, which are not the same things at all.
Right.
Like, you know, school is like, okay, yeah, you sat there and did what a professor needed to give you the right letter, pat on the head and get. But being educated could be done outside of school. Really, education should be kind of your whole life. It should always be an ongoing process. And like the same thing with like almost like religion versus like belief or spirituality or you know what I mean, any of that. But it's like both like school and religion, I feel like they have these these like ideas that are so interesting and powerful and like really like something that people are into, like naturally. That's why the institutions were created, because people are almost inherently drawn to thinking about these ideas and believing in them. But they strip so much of that interesting stuff out and narrow it down to this kind of formulaic thing where like so many of like the kids who are in church or temple or whatever, and same with the kids who are in like some college class somewhere, they're not really like engaging with how powerful some of these forces are. Like they're not, you don't see some kid in a row, you know, in an aisle at temple, like really thinking like, man, what is the whole universe about? And is there a meaning to it? And do I have like a relationship with God? And why is there evil and good and all? They're just kind of like, I have to say these words that we memorized, you know, like I have to do this or my dad's going to like smack me in the head and be like, hey, shut up, stop that. You know what I mean? You get the point that I'm making?
Well, I'll shit on school. Knowledge is pretty excellent. And I can't tell you how many times, even on this podcast, you say something and it's true. And I'm like, I didn't know that. And like, it blows your mind. You're like, holy shit, that's information I didn't have. When people give you new knowledge, like I either in your social life, politics, whatever it is, it's a pretty great thrill to go, oh, that's information I didn't have. And that's going to help me in my life. I very rarely got that feeling in school. Like, how does school mess up knowledge? Like, how do you mess that up? Like, who's anti? Everyone wants to know more, like, especially if it will make you money. How do they blow that? For religion, I don't want to shun it. If some people like it, it works for them.
Sure, sure. No,
I wish it vibed with me, but, you know, what can I say?
Yeah, well, look, to be honest, I kind of feel a similar way about school. Like, some people really like it. Some people go and become, like, doctors and scientists, and not the ones at the NIH, like the good ones, you know? But, like, some of them, like, there are scientists who do really great things. I mean, there are, like, you know, there are doctors and who are out there. They're just, like, surgeons who are just like, I don't know, every day I fix people, and I do a really good job of it. And
they make so much money.
And they make bank. But long hours. But... You know what I'm saying? So it's like, okay, that's good if it's great if it's good for you. But yeah, to your point, like there are people, and I'm sure you feel this way too, with like whoever, you know, if you just think about some of the people you love to read the most, who you've just like learned the most from, you know, like if you met that guy in life, and I've been fortunate enough to meet a lot of those guys in my life, and you do have a thing where you're like, hey, it's a, like, pleasure to meet you, man. Such a huge, like, I really admire your work. Thank you for what you do. You're like very grateful to them naturally. It's like, you teach me stuff. It's hard to put a price on that. Like, that's an amazing thing to give someone. Like, you gave me information and I understand the world around me a little bit better. Like, we're just here in this existence and now I get it a little bit more because of you. I don't know if I've ever really felt that way about a teacher. You know, like, how many people, like, really feel about their teacher that way? Like, hey, thank you. Like, thank you so much. I mean, I have a handful of teachers who I liked, but never, like, that type of admiration, you know? But wouldn't you think that, like, students should feel this way about their teachers all the time? Like, every single one of them they should feel this way about. Why don't they? It's because they're not getting that type of real information from them. Which, oh, by the way, was a thing that I wanted to talk about today and I completely forgot and just remembered it. But did you see that there were these emails that were released that showed that the CDC changed their guidelines on masking kids in school because of lobbying by the teachers union?
So they want to mask them?
Yeah, they initially put out these guidelines that were like, oh, kids wouldn't have to be masked in school. Right. And that this was recently, you know, and then they changed it to back to them having to be masked in school. And it was just revealed that in that in between time, the teachers union was like furious about it and pushed them. So just the idea that it's like your kid now is expected to be masked up all day long. Why? Not because of the science, but because of the teachers union insisting that they want it that way. But for, you know, why exactly? Who exactly knows? I guess they could argue that it's to protect teachers. Still, in itself, that would be pretty sickening that that's where the teachers union position is, that we'll protect teachers at the expense of children. Something kind of backward about that. But also just the idea that, you know, it's like, if you're going to say that the vaccine does such a good job of like preventing people from being sick, and we've known from the very beginning of this that kids are very poor vectors for COVID. And so you can't take this enormously small risk for what, according to what they're saying, there's like no risk. So it's weird. This is one of the fascinating things about like the contradictions in the official opinions right now is that it's like, oh, everyone needs to get vaccinated because we have so much confidence in this vaccine. But then every move demonstrates that there's no confidence in the vaccine. Because if you were really confident in it, you'd be like, well, all the teachers are vaccinated. It's nothing to worry about, you know? And oh, if there's a teacher who for whatever reason can't get vaccinated, oh, okay, in those special cases, maybe they don't have to come in, you know? Whatever. But that's not the case. Anyway, I saw, it's funny, there was a, you know, I don't know, a little tweet. I'm not even going to mention who it was because I like the guy and I don't want to shit on him. But there was a guy talking about, a libertarian guy talking about what kids should be allowed to get vaccinated, which, you know, whatever. Feel how you feel about it. But so Thomas Massey, I saw just he posted the data for Kentucky. And this, in this idea of like kids being masked, like if you're going to pretend that this is for kids' safety, that kids need to be vaccinated or that kids need to wear masks or any of this. So here the data for Kentucky, and believe me, it looks like this all throughout the country, but just to pick this one example of Kentucky. Okay, ages 0 to 9, there's been 33,672 cases of COVID. So, you know, rounding up closer to 34,000 than 33, somewhere in the middle there. Okay. So out of these nearly 34,000, there has been how many deaths?
I'm going to guess zero.
One. They got one. Okay. The death percentage. Yeah. Almost certainly a kid with some severe underlying condition. Not to say that that's not terrible, but that's the risk. To give you some percentage, to take a scope of how bad this is, the death percentage is 0.0. Now, kids between age 10 and 19, there has been 73,947, so just shy of 74,000 cases. 74,000 cases. And the number of deaths? One. That's what we're talking about with this stuff. There's, a 0.00%, death rate.
And keep in mind, infections are going to be at least double to triple reported.
Right, exactly. That's another good point. But you're talking about well over 100,000 cases, well over 100,000 cases, almost 110,000 cases, and two kids died out of all of them. So the idea, the idea that this is even put out there is like protecting children is just ridiculous. It's, there's like 100 things that are way more severe for children. And there was just recently a report that the child obesity rate has dramatically increased over the last 18 months, which is no question, way bigger problem, larger scale than COVID is. So none of this is about protecting kids. And you just see it. It's like the teachers' union and they're not interested in protecting children. They're not interested in educating children. They are interested in schooling them. Fucking abolish public schools, man. Goddamn. Just a disgrace. All right. Anyway, didn't plan on any of that. I don't know. That was a weird tangent there was a weird tangent from Rosh Hashanah. I don't know how I got there. But I, for the record, I was not blaming the Jews for any of this. I know this will be twisted. Here's the problem with the Jews, public school. So what I wanted to talk about today, first and foremost, which I thought was a very big deal, were these papers that The Intercept got their hands on yesterday. And The Intercept released a few hundred pages documenting some very interesting details on the NIH that Dr. Fauci has been the head of for many years. And this is basically why Dr. Fauci is who Dr. Fauci is today, because he was the head guy at the National Institute of Health for whatever, I forget the whole acronym. I know you've taken a look at this. Like I said, it's hard sometimes because we talk so much about this and it seems like every day something that is so crazy is happening, for like historic standards. This is such a crazy thing. But then every now and then something happens where you go, ooh, this one feels real big. This one feels real big. So basically what they concluded was that the NIH was indeed funding gain of function research.
Were making viruses deadlier. I don't know if you have that right, Dave.
Yeah, that's right. That was Fauci's line. No. I mean, it was enhanced.
Experts up and down the command chain.
Yes, this was
have said line. That this is not gain of function research. You got to really be a scientist on Fauci's level to understand the differentiations.
Well, just to be clear, okay, what these papers are claiming, which it must be inaccurate, is that it was gain of function research. But this is what's
crazy. Dave, if you say, hey, we need to know exactly what you're doing to increase the utility of the viruses for approval, like we want to know each time what exactly you're doing and what the end result might be, that's not gain of function.
Right, yes.
Increasing evidently. Utility is different than gain of function.
Oh, you're talking about IU? Increase utility? Oh, yeah, sure. We were doing IU, but no GF. So they come out now. This is, I mean, look, what these papers say is that they were American taxpayer dollars, okay, to be very clear, from an institution run by Dr. Fauci, was funding gain of function research in coronaviruses that made them more contagious amongst humans. Now, this is, I got to say, you know, I saw some Republican guy talking about this the other day, and he said, it's so funny to watch Republicans, man, are they pathetic. But so he says in such a serious voice, like he's saying something really real here. He goes, After this news, I am immediately calling for a full and transparent investigation of Dr. Fauci. It's like, oh. These just empty words. It's like all Republicans are good for these empty words. Full transparent. Oh, I don't know why. It just makes me cringe every time I hear a politician say full transparent investigation. It sounds like
it's kind of like the one Peter, I think, Storzak did to discover whether or not, you know, there was a lab leak. Because after all, he handed them the money. So, you know, he did want to ensure that if he handed them the money for gain of function research, that it wasn't actually a lab leak. And after that full investigation, he came back and said, nope, definitely not the money I gave them.
Well, that's the thing. It's like any time a politician says full transparent investigation, and let me guarantee you, this won't be full, it won't be transparent, and it will accomplish nothing. So, like, whatever. In a sane world, though, you would want to get to the bottom of that. Full transparent investigation, it's like comprehensive reform. Like anytime a politician says comprehensive reform, you know, and they always say it like this means something. What the hell does it mean? It never means anything.
If you want full and transparent, why don't you just put out the unredacted emails? And why is it that it takes months through some sort of a Freedom of Information Act? Like, if these emails should be public record, why does it have to take a lawsuit that takes a lengthy period of time in order to get them? So, like, I'm all for it. You know, if you want to do full and transparent, explain that to me also.
Yeah, no, that's right. 100%. But I'll say this, right? Because we have no process for actually having a full transparent investigation or something like you just said, like, hey, how about actually just share the information? Why does this need to be a secret? This isn't a fucking CIA plot where you're like, oh, we have sources and names and all of this stuff that could be at risk. There's no, this is a virus. Just give us all the information. It's insane. But since none of that happens, you know, it's hard to conclusively say, okay, this is what happened here. But I will say, I mean, there is an overwhelming amount of circumstantial evidence at this point that this virus was created in the Wuhan lab with American taxpayer dollars, and that's where this whole thing came from. I mean, just to be clear, what we know now is that from Fauci's emails that were released, that lots of people in his circle were worried about it. He was concerned about it. We know that the whole talking point that this is not where it came from was put out by all of the people involved in the funding and in the research. Okay, so that's completely thrown out due to massive conflicts of interest and corruption. We know that there were a few of the workers at the Wuhan lab that were hospitalized in November with COVID-like symptoms, right? Like a couple weeks before the first documented cases of COVID were found in Wuhan. I mean, like, it's, you know, and there's just like the Jon Stewart joke about all of it. Like, I don't know. There's an outbreak of COVID in Wuhan, and now we know that we were funding gain of function research in coronaviruses in Wuhan. I mean, it does, like, I'm not saying this is like beyond a shadow of a doubt proof, but it's overwhelming circumstantial evidence that, like, there's no other theory that has this type of evidence. There's also, you know, a whole lot of virologists who have made the genetic argument that like you can study the way the virus is evolving, and this indicates that it was made in a lab. Now, that to be completely transparent, that I just don't understand. It's just above my pay grade. But there are experts who are claiming that there's real scientific genetic evidence in that regard.
But the two pieces of genetic evidence is, one, they haven't found a single source of this virus existing in like a bat or in some sort of an animal. So in order for it to have made a jump, it would have had to have started off in some sort of an animal, and they can't track that animal. I believe that to be true. The genetic argument is that there are elements of this virus. You do kind of have to take the word of the experts on this. There are elements of this virus that don't exist in nature, which include the fact that it was like the fact that it was as advanced as it was once we learned about it was an oddity. It seemed to be that like something increased it. Like, viruses don't normally increase in this way in nature. And then there was also a very specific piece of evidence that there was like a way that things are combined that you never see in nature. Like, it was like a sure sign of like, scientists having worked on it.
Yeah, I've heard these arguments as well. It's just, all I was saying is, it's just like, it gets beyond my level of understanding at this point. So it's like, but it's something I'll throw in the basket of pieces of evidence that there are these experts making these claims.
I also think it's important to add, even if Fauci didn't specifically hand over money to them, and then that money developed this specific coronavirus that we're now dealing with, he still did, after people were warning, hey, gain of function research is dangerous, he did very clearly still give resources over to the Communist Chinese Party to essentially create what might look like bioweapons, which seems crazy, even if you want to say with scientific purposes. And then he also fairly certainly lied about the fact that they were involved in gain of function research. So even if it's not that we bought this specific virus, I think it's pretty clear that Fauci's been lying to us. And he also engaged in a scientific process, even if it was to help us out, even if it was to get ahead of these diseases. It very clearly has created what in their eyes is the worst pandemic in, you know, since the fucking Black Plague, that we had to shut everything down and everyone's got to take these, you know, shots now. So it's like, by your estimation of what corona is, and I tweeted this, but how soon till Fauci turns around? He's like, look at the death rate. This isn't a big deal. Just was walking it back like, yeah, come on, this is barely a virus. Like, yeah, I'm responsible. But the point is, according to the way he sees it, there is some responsibility there, and he's trying to cover up. And, you know, let's hang the guy already, but legally, by trial, through government.
Yes. There you go. Definitely. And also, of course, that's all satire. All right, guys, let's take a moment and thank our sponsor for today's show, which is I Trust Capital. Let me tell you how you know that inflation is a big problem. They just had a press conference from some member of the White House explaining how inflation definitely isn't a problem. That's how you know. All right. And lots of people are realizing this. They're realizing that their currency is being destroyed, and they're trying to invest in things that can protect them. And the big things are precious metals and cryptocurrency. Now, if you want to invest in Bitcoin, other cryptocurrencies, in gold and silver, I'll tell you that the smart investors are investing with their IRAs and 401k retirement accounts. And the easiest way to do that is with iTrust Capital. All iTrust accounts are IRAs, which means you can invest and trade your crypto and gold tax-free 24/7. If you have an existing IRA or another retirement account like a 401k, you can roll those over. No penalties, no taxes. iTrust Capital makes investing in crypto safe and easy. You can log into your account 24/7 and invest at the push of a button. Now crypto can be traded as easily as stocks, no keys or complex process. iTrust Capital also makes investing in physical gold and silver easy. iTrust uses a blockchain ledger that gives you digital ownership of physical gold held at the Royal Canadian Mint. This is not a security or a derivative or a future or some other contract. This is fully backed by physical gold that is deliverable upon request. And the best part, iTrust Capital has low transparent pricing that is 90% cheaper than their competitors. So if you're looking for an IRA to trade crypto or precious metals tax-free, go to itrustcapital.com. If you use the promo code POTP, you'll get your first month free and a free crypto IRA and gold IRA investor's guide. One more time, it's itrustcapital.com, promo code POTP. You'll pay nothing for your first month, and you'll receive their crypto IRA and gold IRA investor's guide at no cost. If you're interested in learning more about the company, I recorded a short conversation with the CEO. He's a great guy, and he explained a lot of what they're doing. That's up at the Gas Digital sponsor page, so definitely check that out, and go to itrustcapital.com, promo code POTP. All right, let's get back into the show. So anyway, there's a lot there, right? And one of the big things that came out of this is that it does, and of course, you know, you were joking around before about this, like, no, it's not gain of function, it's just increasing the utility or whatever. But look, according to these papers, Dr. Fauci lied to Congress, which is a crime. Now, by the way, I don't think it should be. I'm not a big believer in, like, there's a crime to lie to Congress. I actually think that's, like, just insane and infuriatingly insulting to the American people. Like, really, it really shows you something about the whole myth of, like, civilian government and public servants, you know? So it's a crime for us to lie to them, but it's not a crime for them to lie to us. They can lie. Congress can lie to the American people anytime they want to, but ooh, me or you lie to Congress, we'll be going to jail for that shit. So that's infuriating.
Well, I guess they also can't even lie to themselves. That if you're a congressperson, you're brought in front of them, I guess, like, as one of those congressional hearings, then in that capacity, you're not allowed to lie.
They just don't really do that. They don't really bring each other in front of them. But look, the guy fucking did lie to Congress, and it is about, like, the most important thing ever. I mean, it's really something to imagine, right? And again, granted that, like, I would say there's overwhelming circumstantial evidence of this, but it's not proof, and, you know, it's not 100%. But just saying, if the overwhelming circumstantial evidence is correct, that you really got to step back and look at, like, wow, like, look what Fauci did. And it's really remarkable that it's him. That it's all him. It's not like, oh, there's this guy, like, you know, on TV who's selling this whole thing, and then there's these mysterious figures in the background. It's actually the guy himself who's on TV. Look, gain of function research was banned by the Obama administration, and they invoked this clause, this, like, emergency clause to allow it continue. And it was Fauci's signature on the paper. That's why gain of function was allowed to continue. Then Fauci, assuming this overwhelming,
well, Fauci gets paid more than president, so, well, I mean,
that's for sure. But so then Fauci, right? Assuming all the circumstantial evidence, just assuming that this is the case, Fauci funds the research that creates COVID, that then creates everything from the last 18 months. I mean, Fauci, through the damage of the virus itself and the overwhelming damage of all of the government policies that he's been the champion of, has done more damage to the world, but to be, as an American, focus on our country, he's done more damage to the United States of America than anyone ever. More than King George, more than Adolf Hitler, more than Joseph Stalin, more than Osama bin Laden, more than, like, any enemy that America has ever had has never done a fraction of the damage to this country that this guy had, if this is true. And there seems to be a lot of evidence that this is true now. It's pretty unbelievable. I mean, there's no way you could say, I mean, like, look, a lot of people died in, like, World War II, but more... just about. I mean, if the official numbers of COVID, I think, are right up there. And that doesn't even take into account just, like, robbing almost 2 years now of so many people's lives, destroying the economy, and just brought us to our knees in a way that, like, nothing else has. Throw Japan in there, too. That's Pearl Harbor ain't been nothing compared to COVID, you know? And it's, again, I'm not trying to downplay it. Like, World War II was bloody and a lot of Americans died. But, I mean, it's just pretty unbelievable to think that, wow, this guy who's up there has inflicted this. And then, of course, the other point is that it's not just to America. really to the world. He's completely altered in such a negative way the course of human history. It's unbelievable.
You're 100% right, but I think it's important to note that he's responsible for working with that lab and funding research at the lab. Just based off the last conversation he had with Rand Paul, I don't know if you remember it, where he said Rand Paul at first asked, do you want to retract what you had previously said because lying to Congress?
Well, what I do he remember, said, and what he previously said is that the NIH had never funded gain of function research.
I remember multiple times Rand Paul interrupting him to say nobody is saying that. And what I remember the nobody saying that was in reference to that Fauci had funded these specific viruses. So I think what we might find out in time is that he was funding virus research at that, but not the specific COVID that we've dealt with. It could turn out to be that. But I just want to I think it's important to be accurate that he's flagrant because, as you've said, money is fungible. And he was working with that lab and giving them money. And it likely was a result of something that happened at that lab. He might not have signed off on this particular virus.
Yes, I agree with that. And that's important. I appreciate that you made that clear because that's right. However, what The Intercept just posted yesterday is that they were funding specifically gain of function research in coronaviruses and that these coronaviruses had become far more contagious amongst humans. Now, I'm just saying, it's just like, given that this seems to be where the virus came from, and that project sounds a lot like this, opens one up to that possibility. But yes, even if the funding they're talking about was some other coronavirus gain of function, and what ultimately led to COVID was a separate coronavirus gain of function research, yeah, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. It's like, if I'm giving you money to buy guns and you ended up buying a gun and killing a bunch of people and you're like, no, but I didn't give you money for that gun. It's like, dude, you cut him a check. How are you? Money's fungible. How are you really going to argue which gun it was that you bought with my money? You know, you'd be like, no, I bought that gun with my money. You know, it's, I don't know. It's, you're giving money to the person who's doing that. And as the point you made, the point that you made, which I think is a great one, is that it's like, and this is like how crazy and not just evil, but like recklessly evil our government is that even if you didn't think that it was likely that this was going to escape from the lab or something like that, the idea that you're trusting the Chinese Communist Party with something that certainly could be used as a bioweapon, which I don't think it was in this case. I mean, again, after all this shit, I guess, you know, should never like completely rule out something that is possible. But the idea that you would just trust them, we're just like, hey, honor system, China, don't use this bioweapon with something that could be used as a bioweapon, clearly. That is really wild.
No, that's exactly what you were saying. It's insane to hand over money to the Chinese Communist Party to do anything that might resemble or lead to weapons research and then pretend it'd be no different. I mean, not that I'm all that concerned about Iran, but it'd be no different if we were running nuclear experiments with the Iranian party that could very clearly be transferred over into developing a bomb and saying, well, no, we were just working with them on an energy project. Well, actually, no, we're concerned about their energy projects because we know it can transfer over. This is no different.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it's actually, it's much more of a threat than the made up, you know, Iranian nuclear threat. Like, it's really, again, it's just like, it's mind blowing how reckless it is. And it's funny because, you know, anarchists like myself will get attacked a lot for like, well, if not for government, who would protect X, Y, or Z? And then you like, look at
Well, if not for government, who would create dangerous diseases that could shut down the entire country or not be that deadly, but successfully get everyone to panic about it?
Yeah, right. Exactly. So it is. It really is something to watch. So I guess the other thing that's interesting that's going on right now is that we are approaching the enforcement of the vaccine passport in New York City. There has been some pushback on this. There's been several fairly large protests in New York City. It's going to be interesting to see how logistically feasible the enforcement of this actually is. We'll see how this all ends up playing out. But while this is going on, there is a, as we've been talking about now for the last couple months, there's a really hysterical campaign against the unvaccinated people, which are slowly becoming the oppressed in our society today. The unvaccinated, there's really, I'll tell you, it's very creepy to witness. And this is something that's happened, historically in a lot of places, and usually in the worst chapters of human history, where you watch a certain group of people get demonized and dehumanized. And to see the kind of this ugly human instinct to get all of your hate out on this one group of people and blame them for all of society's ills, and all of a sudden kind of make them less than human. You almost kind of are rooting for them to die.
Well, take it from me, because I actually did die of COVID and now I'm resurrected and back from the dead. So you can call me COVID Jesus. I'm still king of the cock, so I'm going to hold both titles.
COVID Jesus. I'm going to tell you something, Rob. That one's going to stick. That one's got some legs to it. I like that.
But on that note, the Lord doesn't want you to shame the unvaxxed. That's the only thing he sent me back to share with mankind.
All right, guys, let's take a moment and thank our sponsor for today's show, which is BetterHelp. BetterHelp offers professional counseling done securely online. So if you feel like there's something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals, definitely check out BetterHelp. Whatever you're dealing with, BetterHelp has a wide range of counselors available for you. Plus, BetterHelp is more affordable than traditional counseling. Financial aid is available and it's easy to get started. Once you sign up, BetterHelp will match you with your own licensed professional therapist who will be able to communicate with you in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. This is not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so it's easy and free to switch counselors if needed. You can send a message to your counselor at any time, and you'll get a timely and thoughtful response. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, so it's the perfect way to do therapy during the pandemic. You won't have to go back to sitting in an uncomfortable waiting room in the future either, because you can just do it through BetterHelp. Go to betterhelp.com/problem. Join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. New testimonials from users are posted daily. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. One more time, it's betterhelp.com/problem, BETTERHELP.com/problem. That'll get you 10% off your first month. BetterHelp.com/problem for 10% off your first month. All right, let's get back into the show. So I was thinking about this. There's this joke that Jimmy Kimmel made the other day that's been going viral. It's all over Twitter and stuff. And anyway, I don't know. Let's play it, and then maybe we'll talk about it. As two stand-up comedians, it's kind of interesting to see this. But here was Jimmy Kimmel, I believe, last night on his show.
The number of new cases is up more than 300% from a year ago. Dr. Fauci said that if hospitals get any more overcrowded, they're going to have to make some very tough choices about who gets an ICU bed. That choice doesn't seem so tough to me. Vaccinated person having a heart attack? Yes, come right on in. We'll take care of you. Unvaccinated guy who gobbled horse goo? Rest in peace, Wheezy.
All right, so let's pause it right there, because that was kind of the joke. And we can play a little bit more of what he goes into after there. But I had to say, man. All right, so I'm going to take this apart little by little. It's almost like, maybe it would just take it apart comedically first, I got to say. And this is somebody who's, me and you both are certainly not clean comedians. And, if you come see a show that we do, there's a lot of cursing. There's some things that are pretty harsh, you know what I mean? And like edgy topics that we'll cover.
I tell a lot of dick jokes.
You sure do. And jokes about just like debauchery and kind of fucked up things. And you know what I mean? And I'm on Legion of Skanks, and we do some really dark humor, you know, and stuff like that. But one of the things that stands out to me about this joke is like how nasty it is. Like it's hateful. And I know this like kind of sounds weird coming from someone on Legion of Skanks, because that's what they accuse us of all the time. But if you go watch Legion of Skanks, like even the most fucked up jokes that we make, it's always kind of like with a silly thing to it. It's never like the joke is, and then we fucking kill those people, you know? And there's something about that. You watch it just as a comedian, you're like, man, that's fucking harsh. But then like on the more just like, I don't know, like on the more just like cultural aspect of it. I mean, I don't know, dude. This is to me the type of thing that if you ever saw, it's like something you'd see out of some evil regime, like before they go genocidal or something like that, where you're like, yeah, this is even what the comedians were talking about. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, if you inserted any other group right there in, you know, instead of unvaccinated people, and you just see some guy being like, sorry, Wheezy, you're going to fucking die. Like, geez, like some unbelievably reprehensible hostility. And I think the sickening thing to me about it is that it's like he's doing one of these things, which we all know and most real comedians really fucking hate. You know, like I know, you know, there are these like kind of jokes where the response is applause, not laughter. And I know you and me, right? Like me and you, I've definitely had a lot of moments, I'm sure you have too, where I get an applause in my stand-up and it bothers me. I don't like it. Like you just don't like it, you know? And it's fine, you know what I mean? If I'm doing a set and I'm getting tons of laughs and then one thing I say gets a fucking applause or something like that, it's fine. But you never really like it because you're like, I don't want to do that. You don't, you know what I'm saying? You don't ever want to be the one who's going up there and just getting the people who already agree with you to clap because you said what they agreed with already. That sucks. What you want is the room dying laughing. Like, that's the goal, you know?
I agree with you conceptually, but I'm also like, oh, they like me and I'm not bombing.
Okay, fair enough. Well, usually if you're a good comic, it means there's a lot of laughs, you know, happening around that. But just to be clear, this isn't a joke that the audience starts laughing at. This is a joke that they start thunderously applauding. And there's something really disturbing about that. Like that you just tell this thing like, look, man, you know, whatever, again, like we've talked about before on the show, you could apply this logic, even if the vaccine was like 100% protection against COVID and it was perfect. Like if the vaccine skeptic side, let's just say for the sake of argument, is 100% wrong and they are completely bringing it on themselves if they don't get vaccinated and get sick, even if that is your starting point. Well, that same logic can be applied to people who smoke getting lung cancer, people who are obese, you know, getting a wide list of ailments, you know, dying of diabetes or something like that. Or like, oh, there's all of these different things where like lifestyle choices result in, you know, something you did results in you crowding up hospitals. I mean, again, our hospitals are crowded primarily with preventable illnesses, or at least it's a majority of the medical costs. I know, I don't actually know if it's the majority of hospitals, but it's a large, large percentage. But if you ever get to a point like, isn't it kind of evil to like be applauding the idea that that guy dies? I mean, if someone smokes their whole life and gets lung cancer and they're dying and can't breathe and they're in this gruesome position, like, yeah, look, there is some truth like, ugh, you really shouldn't have smoked your whole life, should have found a way to not do that. But you're also not like, eh, get out of the hospital, Wheezy. And then a room full of people are like thunderously applauding that. Like, holy shit, dude. Holy shit. It's like that line, Malice likes to say, where it's just like, consider the possibility that you're the bad guy. Just look at what you're doing right now and consider the possibility that like you're evil. It's a really, really ugly impulse to be, you know, this thrilled with the prospect of turning someone away from hospitals, which, by the way, just saying, for all of the hysteria over the last 18 months has never happened. This has not happened anywhere in the country. There's not been a situation anywhere in the country where they've been turning people away to go die in the streets, which was the justification for the original 15 days to flatten the curve, right? Was that if we don't do this, people are going to be turned away from hospitals. There were some areas in the country where they came close to capacity in ICUs and in hospitals, but there was never anywhere where they were completely at capacity, and therefore people were just being turned away to just go die. It just didn't happen anywhere. And in fact, in large areas in the country, tons of resources were diverted in order to create new beds where they weren't even needed. And by the way, you wouldn't even need to do any of that. You could just repeal, you know, the certificate of need legislation, and we'd have. The market would figure this all out. But I don't know. I mean, are you with me on that? Like, I just found this, like, so disturbing.
I'm half with you. I feel for you and I, it's a little dangerous to take the approach that comedy could lead to violence.
I'm not saying that comedy can lead to violence exactly. I'm just saying that, like, it's kind of demonstrating a mindset here of,
yes,
like,
demonizing of those that to me, what's more offensive about it is just, it's not funny. I mean, if you can take that joke and make it funny, then God bless. It's not my opinion, but I love when people take an opinion.
No. Listen, but here's the thing, right? There's something about the force of being funny that would, it's almost like it's mutually exclusive. Like, something is never going to be that funny if it's just, and I hope those fucking people die.
Right.
You know, because you'd be like, oh, that's not funny. You know what I mean? Like, there is a way to make a funny joke where your point is that these fucking unvaccinated are idiots, or that, you know what I mean? But I don't know. There's just a difference there. It's kind of hard to exactly put into words. But even, you know, the worst, like, Legion of Skanks joke, where we might be saying some real fucked up words, joking about some real dark things, it's like, the joke is never, and I hope those people die. And even if those were the words, the joke would be how ridiculous these words are. You know what I mean? Like it's like Lewis has made jokes about, like, you know, all types of fucked up shit. I have too, I'm sure. You know what I mean? But the joke is always like how absurd it is to be that guy. Like, you're almost the character of, like, the evil guy. He's just really being that guy. There's no character involved.
I think also, if you remember, Kathy Griffin got canceled for showing the severed head of Donald Trump. The entire incident made zero sense.
Yeah.
So if we're within a landscape where comedians get censored or in trouble for saying things that are tasteless or mean, the fact that this isn't considered that really showcases how far society has come in terms of being okay with demonizing the unvaxxed, which, by the way, doesn't even make sense. So it's like we're really committed to something that not only doesn't make sense, but it's kind of a dangerous idea to say that the unvaxxed should be scapegoated or demonized, especially if there's no logic to it. Like, it would, at least if there was evidence of the fact that we were actually spreading, proliferating the disease, causing the variants and keeping this within our society and killing people, it might make sense to at least have their logic. That's not what's going on here. So it's no different than scapegoating Jews or anyone else that's been scapegoated in human. Like, it's nonsense talk.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's absolutely right. All right, guys, let's take a quick moment and thank our sponsor for today's show, which is Blue Blocks. I love Blue Blocks. These glasses block the blue light. They have sunglasses that filter just the right amount of blue light, which keeps you healthy and alert during the day. Also helps you get better sleep at night. They're really cool looking. They're super fashionable. Blue Blocks glasses have been seen in Vogue, GQ, and Cosmopolitan magazine. You know you're going to look good. You're going to look fashionable and stylish with these frames that they have available. So they're really great looking. They're great sunglasses. They also, like I said, they help block the blue light, which is huge for me. I've tried other brands, never found anything I like. I highly recommend people go check out Blue Blocks. Their sunglasses come in non-prescription, prescription, and they have reading options as well. They have styles for everyone, and they have a virtual try-on app, which is really cool. So you can see exactly how the frames look on you, order the pair that you like. Blue Blocks has other amazing products as well, like low blue light bulbs, red light therapy devices, and 100% blackout sleep masks, all backed by science. Blue Blocks ships worldwide in rapid time. There's also easy returns and exchanges. Go to blueblocks.com/problem and use the promo code problem. That'll get you 15% off your order today. That's blueblocks.com blublox.com/problem, promo code problem for 15% off your order. All right, let's get back into the show. There's a few kind of like tactics, and I think sometimes people use these tactics without even really thinking through that they're using them, but they are like in effect control tactics. And one of them is what you were kind of just getting at, where you set up these parameters of what will get you canceled or what's over the line, what's not allowed, right? But those parameters are only in effect for your political opponents. So like you can go as far over in this direction as you want to, but you can't say anything in this direction. So, you know, there's like, I remember I was watching, I won't even like name her, but whatever, but she's a very like, you know, just with, I don't even know how woke she is, but she's just kind of in the type of Hollywood comedian that just has all of the approved opinions in Hollywood, you know? And she was getting very upset about Roseanne. She was giving Roseanne a lot of shit when Roseanne got in trouble for, you know, her thing. And when she got kicked off her show or whatever. And then she did this thing on where she had a bit about, it was when Ireland legalized abortion. And she just goes, Ireland has legalized abortion. And the audience just starts clapping like crazy loud. And they like started like an abortion chant. And it's like, hey, look, I mean, I didn't find it funny, so whatever. But regardless, it's like, hey, okay, you know, you could do that if you want to do it. But how are you going to do that and then also attack some other comic for something you find offensive? You know what I mean? Like, do you realize how offensive that is to a huge portion of people? Like, you don't care about offending them. So these are the rules that are set up. Your side can't be offended, but you can offend the other side as much as you want to. Be as indecent, as shitty as you want to be. But one of the other tactics that are kind of set up is that anytime you make a comparison to something, people will like attack you as if you're equating the two things. So this was the thing where, because like you just like, this is what made me think of it as you talking about like the Jews and demonizing, you know, the Jews and stuff like that. So the Libertarian Party of Kentucky, I think it was, were the ones who came under fire for tweeting out a picture of the gold star, the gold star of David. That was, you know, one of the things that the Jews had to wear in the lead up to the Holocaust, which was like there was all types of different ones. Were all these different things that Jews had to wear. They kept making the bandages like bigger and bigger, and they were on your arm, then they were on your chest. Anyway, but they compared it to that, and it was an obvious comparison to like, oh, what do you, they were like, hey, what do you want to do? You want to mark the unvaccinated so like they can't go into all these businesses and stuff? And then there's all this outrage all of a sudden. Oh my God, they're downplaying the Holocaust. And they're, and what they say is, they go, and this is what was said, this is what that rabbi said when I was having my conversation with him, is he goes, well, they're equating this to the Holocaust. And you're like, no, that's not true. They're not equating something. Like, comparing something is not the same as equating something. It's not saying like, this is exactly that. This is the exact same thing. You know what I mean? Like, it's this is every bit as bad as that. It's making a comparison and saying like, hey, aren't there some kind of creepy similarities between this and that? And everyone who's being honest and being an adult about this understands that, that nobody is saying these two things are exactly the same. You're just saying like, yeah, we really don't want to have like some kind of striking similarities here between this and that.
It's also in part, look where that went.
Well, right. And it's like saying like, so you're like saying like, look, doesn't this kind of remind you of the run up to this really awful thing? Maybe we want to think about that. That doesn't mean this is the exact same as that awful thing. It doesn't mean this is guaranteed to lead to that awful thing. It's just noticing some trends. And the way that the unvaccinated are being demonized right now is like that, basically that they are responsible for ruining all of society. They are the reason why everything is wrong, and they are literally a virus in a sense. That is a very specific way to demonize someone that, yes, has some historical parallels. Like, that is literally saying that you are a virus that is ruining society. Really not that far from that. And so, yeah, that's creepy. Anyway, let's play a little bit more from Kimmel, because there was another that he had on there.
Control centers have seen this spike in calls from people taking this livestock medicine to fight the coronavirus, but they won't take the vaccine, which is crazy. It's like if you're a vegan and you're just like, no, I don't want a hamburger. Give me that can of Alpo instead. One of the reasons these sea biscuits are opting for ivermectin is because they don't trust big pharma, which is fine, I guess, except for the fact that ivermectin is made by Merck, which is the fourth largest pharmaceutical company in the world. And even Merck is telling people to cut it out. They released a statement saying ivermectin has no scientific basis for potential therapeutic effect against COVID. There's no meaningful evidence for clinical activity or clinical efficacy in patients with COVID-19 disease. And there's a concerning lack of safety data in the majority of studies. Listen, if a pharmaceutical company says, please don't take the drug we're selling, you should probably listen to them. Or you could just go with a TikTok posted by a disgraced veterinarian instead.
All right, let's pause it there. So, you know, okay, first off, the story of people like being rushed to the hospitals with all of this, this is all bullshit. Like, this is not fucking real.
Off the back, what we need a scientist to tell me, what does uptick mean? What specifically, like when you say an increase, this is what they always do. They go, there's been an increase, what, from 1 to 3? Like what, from 0 to 1? So now there's been one case. And then, so they always tell you the percentage increase when it's low numbers. Yes. 75% increase. All right.
Yes. So when one to three, it's tripled.
There's big absolute numbers. That's what they'll report. They'll be like, hey, it was 2,000 COVID deaths. They're like, oh my God, 2,000. But then if you look at them percentage terms, over 3 million people in the 300 million people in the pie, it's nothing. So
right.
They're always pulling that trick. And so every time I've seen these stories of there's an uptick or there's a massive increase, poison control centers, firstly, no one's telling you to take horse paste. There's not a doctor in the world that said, hey, go get yourself some horse paste. That's not what anyone's telling you. And how many cases are there of some idiots who are taking horse paste, which, by the way, no one's telling them to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's unbelievable. It's also like really it's so, like I said on the last podcast or two podcasts ago, it's so like, I don't know. It's just like it's just a sign that you repeat whatever the corporate press dominant dogma of the day is, that it's like, I don't know, dude, like they give fucking penicillin to animals. It doesn't mean if you're taking penicillin, like to just demonize it with this, you're taking an animal thing. No, it actually makes a lot of sense in, with certain infections to take penicillins. Like I don't, this is stupid. But on top of that, like this idea that, again, it's like demonized. These people are such fucking idiots and that's why we're going to let them die at hospitals and all this shit. But if you're saying someone doesn't trust big pharma, well, all right. No, the logical conclusion from that is not that every single medicine that's ever been created by big pharma should never be taken under any circumstance. That's not really where people are coming from, or at least that's a caricature of the you know, like funhouse mirror version of reality. The reality is that there's a lot of people who, yeah, think that big pharma is corrupt and has their own motives and their own interests, and thinks that they are in many ways incentivized to push us in directions that aren't necessarily the best for our health, but are really more the best for their bottom line. That does not mean that somebody is then going to say, like, I don't trust big pharma. I don't even know what that means. It'd be insane to, who trusts any giant corporation. Particularly ones who are in bed with the government. But that doesn't mean I wouldn't ever take an antibiotic or something that was made by a pharmaceutical company, right? Like this doesn't make any sense. And the idea that people are skeptical of a vaccine for a virus with a well over 99% survival rate is not that unusual, and particularly certain people in demographics where the survival rate might be much higher than that. The people who are taking this horse medicine, as you call it, in many cases, I'd say probably the vast majority of cases, are taking it because it was prescribed to them by a doctor. So yeah, you might have some big pharmaceutical company telling you, don't take this. We are repeating all of the safe talking points. And then you have your doctor who's like, eh, just take this. It can't hurt. And it does seem to have helped some people when they take it early on. That's the reality of the situation. And you can make fun of them all you want to, but like, I don't know. It really, to me, does not seem to be the idea that people are trying to beat COVID with therapeutics. I don't know. I don't think there's a very overwhelming case that that's not one way to go with it. You know, like now I'm sure there are people, there are definitely dumb people who believe dumb stuff online. No question about that. There are people probably who have like, you know, insisted against doctor's orders, like please prescribe him this because I read this on something online. Or there are people who have probably tried to take it way late into being sick with COVID where it definitely isn't going to do you any favors. But that, to just demonize one group of people as being the ones who have some people within them who believe in, you know, misinformation or whatever. I mean, there's Bill Maher did a thing on his show not that long ago about how when Democrats were asked to guess what the death rate of COVID was, there's something like enormous. I mean, they were so off. It was ridiculous. Don't act like there's like no one on the pro-vax side that's, you know, ever has their group of people who believe some nonsense. So anyway, I don't know. It's just something that I thought was kind of interesting. And, you know,
I didn't see what the last line there was from Merck, but I think it was something along the lines of there's no studies to prove in safety. Mm-hmm. And they're being very disingenuous with the language because they're trying to paint it as unsafe. It's definitely not safe. It's been prescribed like 4 billion times. Maybe it doesn't work that well for COVID. It's definitely not dangerous to take. And they're trying to like walk this like line of saying, but like if Merck is really coming out and saying that the medication itself is not safe to take, I would think they probably have significant liability for the 4 billion people that they've given it to. And I believe that number to be, I think it's been prescribed about that many times. You know, I don't always have all this information memorized perfectly.
Yeah, no, I understand. But there is something to that. And I think that one of the reasons why a lot of doctors have prescribed it is precisely because they're like, well, it's not risky to take. And there's kind of mixed results. And some people seem to think that it had helped. And there were some studies early on indicating that it had. And then there were some others indicating that it didn't, that it really didn't do much. I really don't know. But I think the reason why a lot of doctors are prescribing it is just because they're like, well, it's not going to hurt you any.
The doctor I spoke to before taking it, I did 2 days of research, just reading everything, trying to figure out what the hell is this stuff. And I was finally like, all right, this seems okay. I have a doctor I'm friendly with. I hit him up and I was like, is this all just like crazy crap or is this actually pretty good? And he goes, it can't hurt you. I go down to Haiti every year. I volunteer there. I've literally given it to babies. Like, it's definitely not going to harm you. And now we've got some evidence that it's pretty good.
There you go. That seems pretty reasonable to me. And if your response to that is you took horse paste, it's like, yeah, well, like Mal said, consider the fact that maybe you're the idiot. And like, you don't, that's not really
I took the
much
pill version that I got from a doctor after talking to another doctor that I trust who told me that he's gone down to Haiti doing volunteer work every year and giving this to babies to treat them for other shit.
Yeah, there you go. All right. That seems as good a place as any to wrap on.
Plug a couple things.
Absolutely. Plug away, my friend.
Oh, yeah. Firstly, this Saturday, Smoke Out Bug Out live comedy show and rap concert all in a fan's backyard. If you're interested in that, hit me up for the ticket link. Also, I just got a new sketch out, which I could not get on YouTube because they banned my channel. Thank you, YouTube. So you got to find my Twitter and Instagram. But I put out a sketch about a guy reopening his segregation supply store for, you know, all the new COVID stuff. So go check that out.
Absolutely. Check it out. Sorry to hear about your YouTube channel. Hope you get that back.
Sons of bitches.
Yeah, there you go. Well, there you go.
I made the mistake of reading an FDA document and asking the world if I was misreading it. And they took down my channel for that.
Unbelievable. Well, we still got our channel for now. So let's enjoy it while we have it. All right. Thanks for checking us out. And we'll see you next time. Peace.